Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
After Peter confesses that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus reveals the ultimate purpose of his ministry. These words prove hard to accept, even for a disciple whom Jesus has called a rock. I begin reading at verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world, but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then we will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. This morning, we're going to play a game. Y'all like to play games? Sometimes, maybe? All right, we're going to play a game. Have y'all ever played Follow the Leader? Ever played Follow the Leader? All right, we're going to play Follow the Leader. All right, so I want y'all to stand up. Okay, and y'all follow me, all right? All right, very good. All right. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
All right, y'all can come sit down. Okay. What's it take to play Follow the Leader? What do you need? What do you need first of all? You need a leader, right? Can't play Follow the Leader without a leader. All right, what else does it take to play the game? All right, or what did you have to do? All right, there's several things that you had to do to follow the leader. One is you had to trust the leader, right? You had to trust that leader was going to do things that you would be willing to follow and do. All right, so after you trust the leader, what's the next thing you had to do? You know? You had to watch. You had to watch that leader. You had to see what that leader was doing. You couldn't follow the leader if you didn't watch the leader, right? Okay? And then what did you do last to play Follow the Leader? You actually did what the leader did, right? Okay. That's what it takes to follow the leader. In our gospel lesson, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. So, if we're going to play follow the leader with Jesus, if Jesus is our leader, we have to recognize that Jesus is our leader, right? Jesus is the one who leads us, and so we want to follow him. All right, so if we're going to play follow the leader with Jesus, then we also have to trust Jesus. We have to trust that whatever Jesus tells us to do or follow his example of what he does, we have to trust him. So what's some of the things that Jesus has done? Y'all know? He helped the sick. All right, we can do that. We can follow Jesus and help the sick. He spoke to people who didn't have any friends. Okay, we can do that. We can follow Jesus doing that. He was kind to other people. Oh, we can try that. We can follow him in doing that. And he loved other people. We can try doing that too. Okay, so we need a leader. We need to trust the leader. We need to see what that leader is doing. And then we can follow them too. And we can do those things that Jesus asked us to do, to follow Jesus. And that's what he tells us to do, is take up that cross and follow him. Okay. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came in this world to lead us. Help us to follow his examples in all things that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, now go sit. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A mother was going to take her young son to the dentist for the first time, and the son was fretting about it. He didn't really want to go, but to get the son ready, the mom was telling the son about all the things that the dentist would be doing there in the office. And so when D-Day finally came, they went to the office, and after a short, impatient wait in the waiting room, the little boy was led back to the room and put in a large chair. The dental hygienist came out and picked up one of her tools, and she says, "I'm going to clean your teeth." And the little boy, trembling, said, "Are you sure you know what you're doing? That doesn't look like a toothbrush to me." That's what's happening, I think, in our gospel lesson this morning. Peter asked Jesus, "Are you sure you know what you are doing?" Jesus had started to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many things under the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees, that he would be tortured, that he would be crucified on a cross, and that he would rise again after 3 days. And Peter and the other disciples say, "Are you sure you know what you're doing?" They were saying, "God forbid it, Lord. We will never let this happen to you." Somewheres their trust was mixed up. Somewheres they didn't understand. Do you know what you are doing? Sometimes our family, or Catherine and I, will go on a trip and we'll plug in the GPS, and I look at that thing and I say, "I can do better than that. I know the shortcuts." And so we start driving, and sometimes those shortcuts really do work. We see different scenery, and it is a quicker time. Sometimes, though, it doesn't quite work out so well. The trips are longer. There's a reason why the GPS routed us the way it did, but I would never admit to that. Catherine asked me, "Do you know what you're doing? Do you know where you're going?" when those things happen. The disciples asked Jesus, "Do you know what you're doing? Do you know what's in store when you go there? We're not going to let that happen to you." The disciples had a different perspective on what the kingdom of God was. They had spent several years with Jesus already by this point. They had heard him preach about the kingdom of God. He was always telling them that the kingdom of God has come near, many times when he was healing people or lifting them up in one way or the other. He was talking about that kingdom of God, and the disciples couldn't wait until this kingdom came about. But their vision of what Jesus was talking about was very narrow. When Jesus talked about kingdom, what they saw was a kingdom here on this earth. They looked at the Roman kingdom or maybe the Greek kingdom that was before that, or maybe other kingdoms on the earth that were part of it, that they were looking at territory of pieces, just pieces of this earth. Their vision was very narrow. And when they said kingdom and Jesus was going to be the king, they got all excited, because then they knew that they would be the generals, or that they would be the cabinet members, they would be the advisors, they would be powerful people. And they were looking forward to that day. And here Jesus starts to tell them that he must go into Jerusalem, where his enemies were, and that he would suffer many things, that he would be hung upon a cross, that he would die, and that he would rise again. They didn't want to hear it.
That was beyond their comprehension. And Peter says, Lord, we're not going to let that happen to you.
Peter's always an interesting character to me because I can kind of see myself in Peter and also see basically all of us in Peter of one sort or the other. The verses right before our gospel reading today is the lesson that we had last week, if you remember that, where Jesus says, and who do you say that I am? And Peter answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Peter gets it right. And Jesus is excited because Peter finally catches on of who he is. And he tells Peter, and Peter is actually a nickname. Peter, or Petros in Greek, means the rock. Peter's real name is Simon. Jesus gives him the nickname of Peter and says, you are the rock upon which I'm going to build my church. And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you bind on earth will be bound on earth. What you loose on earth will be loosed on earth. Peter got it right. And he's all up. His balloon is inflated to full. And then a few short verses later, Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are a stumbling block. All that air in the balloon just came out. Up and down. It's like a roller coaster ride. Up and down. And I think that's our life too. Because many times we are up. We're enjoying life. We're with family. We're with friends. We're having a good time. We're laughing. Celebrating. But then something hits in our lives and takes all the wind out of us. Or we're doing what is right. We're following God, making those right choices. But then something starts to tug at us. That temptation starts to tug at us. And we go against God and we fall. One minute, God is saying, I love you. You are close. You are dear to me. I'm always there for you. The next minute, we are doing something contrary to God, and basically we are condemning ourselves up and down. And that's who we are, saint and sinner at the same time. And thus, this need for Jesus to go to Jerusalem, to go to that cross and that resurrection, because it's in that cross and that resurrection that Jesus builds his kingdom. That kingdom comes about, that he shows his purpose fully, that he saves us. He saves the world through that action. That's where he needs to go, to that cross. But Jesus doesn't leave it just there. He challenges his disciples. Even after he says, get behind me, Satan, he still challenges his disciples to take up your cross and follow me. Now, a lot of times I think we misunderstand what Jesus is saying when he says, take up your cross and follow me. The cross is something that is voluntary when we follow Christ. It's something that we do that is voluntary. We make the choice to take up that cross and follow Jesus. If your wife is cheating on you, your husband's beating on you, if somebody's hassling you, that's not a cross that you bear. That is something you had no choice in. It's something bad that's happened to you, but sometimes we can fix those things and we need to work on fixing those kind of things. We don't have to bear those things. We need to fix them. What the cross is something that we have a choice in doing. Something that we do, and sometimes the consequences are bad when we take up that cross. It's bad for us. It makes our life worse, it seems, when we take up that cross. For instance, say you're at school or at work or maybe the beauty parlor or somewhere else, and someone is being picked on. They're being gossiped about, they're being picked on, they're being hassled. People are ridiculing them. You have several choices that you can make. One is that you can join in with the rest of the crowd. And you can also ridicule that person. Or you can say, God, thank God, I'm not the one being ridiculed. Okay? Or the third choice then is to take up your cross and follow Christ. And to stand up for that person who is being ridiculed. To put an end to that behavior that is destructive.
to stand up in a way that Christ calls us to stand up in his word, to put an end to that destructive behavior. Christ calls us to take up that cross. It is a choice that we make. It is a burden that we place on ourselves. And like I said, sometimes the consequences are negative. What's going to happen when you stand up for somebody who is being hassled? It may end up that you be the one who is hassled and ridiculed. But you're doing the right thing. You're still taking up that cross. The cross for Jesus was not easy. It wasn't just some symbol. The cross was an instrument of torture and death. And Jesus willingly picked it up. He was obedient to his Father, and he went. He took that cross, and he went, and he was crucified. He was also raised from the dead, and by that act, he gives us new life. He gives us the courage. He instills in us faith so that we too can pick up our cross and follow him. Amen.